Welcome back to Speak Out, and I'm with Matt Beinberg. Matt is with Goldwater Institute. He is the Director of Education Policy for Goldwater. And Matt, you're challenging the widespread notion, and I say notion in quotes, that there's ESA fraud throughout the state of Arizona among the recipients, ESA being the Empowerment Scholarship Accounts. And you actually wrote a paper that where you named 12 News in the title. Tell us about that.
Sure. So, you know, I think folks are familiar with the ESA program now. It's a program that serves 100,000 students in Arizona and essentially gives them funding to use for pursuing whatever education is best going to meet their needs. If that's a private school, if that's support for curriculum and supplemental materials and homeschool, whatever that is, essentially the state says, instead of spending taxpayer funds on you at a public school, we're going to take a smaller portion of that and we're going to put that in an account just for your student to use. So that's what the program does. It's serving 100,000 students in Arizona, and there's an effort really driven by the teachers' unions and some activist groups to roll back and tear down this program. And now they essentially have organizations like 12 News in the media, which are perpetuating these false claims against the program to essentially make it seem like it is not actually serving students and taxpayers, but rather is really just mired in fraud and misspending. And so we can kind of dive into that, but we've essentially seen organizations like 12 News recently do an entire campaign trying to convince Arizona voters that the rates of misspending and fraud in this program are out of control. Turns out that has been completely debunked, and so we kind of delve into that in the paper, and we can kind of talk about that here.
Now, you've told me off the air that they're running cover, 12 News is running cover for these this organization. How so? And do you have proof of that?
Well, so this entire narrative, we see it's a ballot measure that's going right now that is ostensibly about trying to protect and bring accountability for this program from the teachers' unions and others. And this entire measure is really built around this idea that says this program is out of control, we need to rein it in, there's all this misspending and fraud. And that narrative is largely being run by 12 News. They're essentially carrying water for this argument by saying that, in their words, they have claimed that 20% of ESA purchases are on unallowable items. So they've run a whole series of stories repeating that claim over and over and over to try to get in the public mind the idea that, you know, one out of five purchases in this program is on something that's inappropriate, it's not supposed to be there, so that your average, you know, voter hears that and thinks, boy, that sounds like it's a huge public policy problem, we need to do something. That's completely false.
What types of items are they talking about? Are they talking about jewelry or cars, spas, or large purchases?
Right. So what they're doing is they're kind of talking about a mix. So there are purchases that you have had some people make that are simply indefensible. They're unallowable purchases. And that's what some things that have grabbed the headlines, right? And they'll say, well, someone bought phones or you know, the technology devices or some of the, you know, clothing, these colorful examples. And they'll cite that. And so your average viewer looks at that and says, well, that's not supposed to be allowed. Those things are actually already prohibited under the program. This is another point that they tend not to mention, or that they bury far down. Every one of those purchases, if somebody makes something that's unallowed like that, those are already prohibited by the program. But they cite those, and then they stick it next to that number that says there's a 20% unallowable spending rate, so that your average, again, reader reads that and thinks, boy, 20% of these funds are going to these things that have nothing to do with education. That's the narrative that we have seen them make over and over and over. And yet, again, and we can kind of dive into this, but it has been completely discredited. It is simply not an accurate portrayal of this, and yet 12 News has essentially dug in on it.
So State Superintendent Tom Horn called out the misleading and inaccurate media narratives around the ESA program. But my feeling is that, okay, Superintendent Horn, he cries foul on anything that's going to attack a program that's under his watch. But now you're with, you know, an organization that's a watchdog, for example, you know, that's looking out for the consumer, that's looking out for taxpayers. And when Goldwater says it, it must mean something, but your rate is definitely not 20%. It's way lower, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's not an issue of it being our rate or somebody else's rate. So when 12 News ran around and said it's 20%, they were looking at essentially a sample of ESA purchases that the department had explicitly flagged and said, these are the ones that we think might have a problem. And within that, they found that 20% of them included purchases that were not allowable. But that includes things like curriculum purchases that they just didn't have the correct, you know, receipt, or it could be a lunchbox, it could be something that just isn't on the list of what's allowed. but they, you know, the parent bought it. But in any case, this is a sample of purchases that was explicitly flagged by the department to say, these are the ones we think there might be a problem with. And of those, 20% had a problem. And so 12 News ran around and said, see, this is evidence that there's a 20% rate of unallowable spending in this program. But, and we've pointed this out elsewhere, that would be like saying if 20% of suspects that the police, you know, are looking into for a crime are guilty, you wouldn't say that means 20% of Americans are guilty of that crime, right? That's basically the same kind of leap in logic that 12 News made by saying, well, of those that were flagged as having a problem, 20% did have a problem. That doesn't mean that 20% overall had a problem. And so they were running with that narrative. We had folks reach out to them and make it clear this is not representative of the program. It's deeply disingenuous to be claiming that it is. And then we actually saw from the Department of Education, they had a PhD, this is a gentleman with a Stanford background in essentially business statistics, someone deeply quantitative. They did a random sample of thousands of transactions in the ESA program, yeah, the actually representative of the program, and they found the rate of spending on items that was unallowable of 2%, just 2%. And even that, because again, that includes things like buying lunch boxes or water bottles for kids, mm-hmm, that just, they're not allowed, but are obviously innocuous purchases. When they actually looked at what's the rate of spending on those items, that, again, those colorful examples that are obviously not education, not allowable, just 0.3% on these types of purchases that were actually fraudulent or egregious purchases. So rather than running around and saying it's a 20% rate of misspending that 12 News tries to stick anytime they talk about these, you know, handful of examples of misuse, the actual rate is 0.3%, which means 99.7% of ESA purchases are essentially made in good faith on behalf of and for the benefit of children. That is obviously not the public policy, urgent public policy matter that the unions and 12 News are trying to make it out to be.
Yeah, one thing I have not heard, and I've covered ESAs quite extensively, is a cancellation of the program. Now, I heard that about a year or two ago. Why are we continuing this program? But now it seems to be set in to where this actually works and has a positive effect on kids who don't get a public education at a normal school, right? Or they're homeschooled kids. Is the program in danger of losing all of its funding?
Yeah, so we've actually seen every year for the last several years, the governor has come out and called for either completely repealing or dramatically rolling back the program and essentially kicking kids out and reducing who's eligible to participate in the program. Mm-hmm. Now that there are 100,000 students being served, I think they recognize that you can't kick 100,000 kids out of the program without sparking a massive public backlash. And what they've essentially done instead is they're trying to find essentially a backdoor effort to snuff out the program. And so this ballot measure that the unions are proposing to put on, they're trying to get signatures to put it on the November ballot, would do several things. It would say, if your family income, your combined family income, so mom plus dad, if they together make over $150,000, you are now ineligible for the ESA program. You can still walk into a public school and you'll be funded 100% by the taxpayer, but you're no longer eligible for the ESA program. It also goes through there, and it essentially puts on all of these requirements and regulations onto private schools and onto homeschool families who are using the ESA program, mm-hmm, so that those families will essentially say, this isn't something that I can do. So if you're a private school, under this proposal from the teachers' unions, that school essentially has to give up authority over all sorts of its operations. And the unions essentially want to turn the private schools into cookie-cutter copies of the public schools. And the private schools, they don't want to be subject to, and there's a reason that they have succeeded, because they are not operated as big district bureaucracies. You know, that's the reason we saw during COVID, right? When public schools shut down across the country, it was the private schools that disproportionately stayed open to serve the needs of their kids. And yet now this ballot measure would go in there and basically say, you are subject to all of the same compliance and regulatory requirements. You have to give up control over everything from your testing to your, you know, we can now go in terms of your financial documentation, in terms of your compliance with so-called student safety and health. These are all things that, again, sound positive when people just hear about it. But what we see is they're essentially trying to saddle all these private schools with this massive, massive amount of overreach so that the private schools will say, we just can't endure that. We can't make that trade anymore. We can no longer accept ESA students. so that the program would essentially collapse. That's essentially the strategy that they're taking here.
So is this something that applies to students that go to online school and charter schools as well as private schools?
So charter schools are technically public schools. So in Arizona, they're public charter schools. Those are not affected one way or the other by this. Those students who are into a public charter school, and some of those can be online. If there's an online private school that a student is using ESA funds for, that would fall under this. But yeah, to your question, the charters are a sort of separate leg of the stool. And interestingly, the same reporter who's leading the charge against the ESA program right now, when he was at one of the other media outlets years ago, was running an entire campaign against the public charter schools and made several false claims about them, saying that they underperformed the district schools, that their graduation rates were lower. These were simply false claims, and they never retracted those either.
Yeah, I think proof is in the performance, correct? I mean, that charter schools, for the most part, do pretty well head-to-head with a public school.
That's right. Stanford actually has an entire center that focuses on educational outcomes, and they actually released a study a couple years ago, and they have found a consistent trajectory over the years. And in Arizona and across the country, charter schools outperform, even when you account for student demographics, right? So when you're talking about similar kids, similar backgrounds, the charter schools, on the whole, on average, do better with those students than the districts, even though they receive less funding overall per student, and even though they're not subject to all of the union requirements that have bogged down district schools, like saying that you can only hire a teacher if they've gone and spent, you know, time in one of these education prep programs. The charter schools aren't subject to those same certification requirements. Instead, they can go out and actually just hire the best teachers. And so we see this exact parallel here where the unions are essentially trying to force their same approach that has largely failed. We have seen, you know, the majority of students in Arizona's public school system are not proficient in math and reading. And yet they're trying to export this same system and basically jam it onto private schools as well, forcing them either to, again, become sort of clones of the public schools or else simply say, we can't take those ESA funds, we can't make that trade.
Now, I'm not sure here in rural Arizona as far as Lake Havasu City or Bullhead or Kingman goes, but how entrenched are the teachers' unions in, say, Maricopa County? And is this something to where they're entrenched outside of Maricopa as well? Because I don't recognize too many teacher union teachers. I haven't heard much here where we live.
Yeah, interestingly, the teachers' unions, despite the title, actually are largely made up of non-teachers, which is one of the fascinating reasons that we have seen this bloat. And so, for instance, it's the Arizona Education Association is the actual name. It's not the teachers' union. That's sort of a, you know, colloquial shorthand for it. But they are a union that essentially seeks for representing public school employees in general. And so now you actually have this fascinating instance right now where there's actually a measure that would require the public district schools to spend at least 60% of their funding on classroom instruction.
Right.
And the unions oppose it because that means it's not going to these bloated staff members that are outside of the classroom. And so we have seen for years, the unions essentially want more members. It doesn't particularly matter if you're a teacher or, you know, an administrator. If you're paying dues to the union, they're benefiting from that. And so that's, again, an issue here where we have seen the public schools, the district schools, in many cases, you know, if not captured by the unions, still beholden to their requirements. And again, the teacher certification requirements, the arbitrary blocking of teachers who haven't gone through their kind of union-controlled or union-aligned prep programs is one of the best pieces of evidence to show they're not actually about following the evidence for what leads to better outcomes for kids so much as ensuring that it's sort of a closed shop or an education environment that they disproportionately influence.
That's very interesting. Matt, where do we go from here? Is this something that just takes a lot of education for the voters with the ballot measure that they're going to be trying to get on the ballot anyway? If it does get on the ballot, where do we go from here?
Yeah, there's a decline to sign effort, and so you know, folks are out there. The unions are out there currently trying to collect signatures for this measure to get it on the ballot, and so there are efforts to inform the public, and again, this is where those signature collectors, those union folks, are essentially relying on the same false talking points that 12 News have pushed. And so really, for folks who are, you know, care about this issue, who you know, believe in parental rights and the outcomes of students, to get educated and to, you know, ensure that they're not supporting these kinds of efforts to rein in the program, and to, you know, to educate folks in their community and let them know, hey, if you're hearing these false attacks on the program, these are falsehoods from union-aligned media activists who are pushing a false narrative about it.
I would imagine that Goldwater Institute plans to put arguments against passage in the election handbook.
So, you know, we will be engaged on all fronts at all stages of this. And, you know, we have already posted some information about the ballot measure, highlighting just the damaging impacts that it has. You know, again, throwing kids off due to arbitrary income limits. It literally goes in and it would take away, if there's a student on the ESA program, the way the program works mm-hmm. is if you receive funds and you don't spend it all 1 year, you can actually save that and use it in a future year toward, you know, high school tuition or college tuition. This attack from the unions would go in and say, if you don't spend every dollar of it by the end of the year, we're going to take it from you.
Well, you
and that applies even to families who essentially would be, you could be a family who's qualified for the program through the military and different aspects here. So you're essentially taking college savings from these kids as punishment. And it's, again, a very punitive approach. So we've written on these things, just the very harmful impacts of this measure. Again, it is being marketed as saying, we're just looking for common sense guardrails. We're just trying to protect taxpayers. It does nothing of the sort.
Wow. Matt Beinberg, thanks for opening our eyes to this on the Empowerment Scholarship accounts for the state of Arizona. You've been a valuable resource. Thank you so much for fighting the good fight in this matter.
Thanks for having me on.